To Juwanza for Life. My name is Juwanza. My show is also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. I'm so very, very excited that you took time out of your day to tune in. I've got a show lined up for you today that could very well be the answer to many, many, many prayers. My special guest is a regular on Juwanza for Life. We've been blessed to have him come on and share information. It's been several years now he's been blessing us with his information, and I just want to just encourage everybody that if you happen to know of anybody that's dealing with any sort of ailment, whether it's we're going to be talking about gout and arthritis tonight, but if you know anybody that's dealing with cancer, high blood pressure, diabetes, heart condition, I don't care what it is, call them, text them if you're listening by phone, or if you're not listening by phone, if you're listening by the computer, then your phone is free. Text them and tell them to tune in to Juwanza for Life today, right now, because King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C., is my special guest today. You know, in life, we are very, very fortunate at times. You know, certain people cross our paths, and you know that when a particular person crosses your path, that there was some divine intervention in that. You know, that it was a divine meeting. And when you listen to my special guest today, you're going to see and hear why I say that. Brother Coy Dunstan has been on the holistic health path for over 37 years, and he's got an awesome testimony that he's going to share that will let you know exactly why you are listening to him. You know, oftentimes when we come down with whatever it is that, you know, we find ourselves dealing with, whether some health condition, the first inclination is to pray. And that's good. We should do that. And oftentimes, though, the answer to the prayer shows up in the most unexpected way. And some people miss the answer because it doesn't come in the form that they're looking for. So, having said that, I want to encourage you to listen with an open mind and open heart, because I believe that the answer to your prayer is in this show right here, right now. So let me move out of the way, introduce my special guest, Brother Coy Dunstan, again, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington. Brother, thank you so much for being my guest again today. It's always an honor. To those of you who missed Brother Coy at the Health and Wellness Symposium we had at the Metropolitan Outreach Worship Center in Fort Washington, oh my God, you got to make it a point not to miss the next one, because Brother Coy brought the information. He brought it strong. It's very compelling and very convincing. And he's one of the reasons why I've stayed on the holistic health path as long as I have. Brother Coy, Dr. Ted Watkins, and Dr. Ruby Lathan came in, and they rocked the house. You hear me? I mean, they brought so much information that people that have heard them on the radio, one brother came down from the Bronx to hear this information. He wanted to hear it live, and actually recently stopped past Coy's shop. And so let me move out of the way. Brother Coy, could you please share, first, welcome back to the show, and if you could please share your testimony with our listeners, why you got on the holistic health plan path, because you had other plans with your life, but God had other plans for you. Can you share how you got started in this on this path?
Well, good evening to you and your family and your listening audience. Good to be back with you again. It's always a pleasure. And going back to my mother, that's the reason that I do what I do today. In 1980, about, I graduated from law school, went home just to take a break and chill out, see my family. And I got there, my mother say, well, she had just come from the doctor, and she said the doctor told her to go to Duke University as fast as she could because she had what she had, he couldn't diagnose, and she needed to get it diagnosed as soon as she could. So the next morning, my father and I got up, took up to Duke University, and they kept her there for most of the day, and they came out and said they were going to keep her because it looked like she had contracted cancer in the breast and the liver and the colon. And that just kind of took the sail out. So we left her there and went home, kept going up to keep a track and what's going on. And after about 3 weeks, she said that the doctor had told her that she would have to take chemotherapy or get out of the hospital. And she asked me, what would I do if it was me? I said, well, I was kind of thrown off with it, but I say, well, straight up, I would just probably get ready to pack my bags and go home and meet my maker. She took my advice. We went home, and after about a week or so, she kind of started to settle down because first they have to really, you know, get over the drug-induced stuff that they own, and they have to get over the fact that why me, the kind of pity party, and decide to live. And when she decided to live, we started doing some of the things that that reverses disease and as far as I knew to, which wasn't a lot. But after she came home, I felt an obligation to do what I could. So I had learned, I had beginning to learn a little bit about preventive health and what it takes, what the body needs, how to deal with disease. And we started doing the fasting. We started doing the enemas, what they call them now, when you get with the bag, yeah, the enemas. We started doing honey. We changed the diet, got off all of the, as much of the garbage as we could, and she started feeling better. She started thinking better, and after about a month or so, she went back to the doctor, and they were stunned that she was still alive, and they told her that whatever she was doing, keep doing, and from there, I was convinced that this is the way to go, and I came back up to D.C. and felt an obligation to tell everybody, and I opened up a store downtown called Yours Naturally, and I worked that for about 10 years, and then I closed that and opened up Secrets of Nature out in Southeast, and that's where I've been ever since, doing and telling everybody that I could, that they don't have to be sick, they don't have to die sick, and I try to assist people that want to make a change, and that's been my life's work.
You know, Brother Quay, when I hear your testimony, every time I hear it, it amazes me because, you know, here you have a woman, your mother, who was willing to submit to your understanding of holistic health. I mean, she was willing to trust and to be open to receive and not just try, but to do the recommendations. For example, you mentioned that you took her off meat, dairy, sugar, you fasted, you prayed, enemas, everything, and she had to be willing to go this path. A lot of people hear the information, but many people, they hear it, and although they might not deny that it's true, because they themselves might not have done the research, so they might not be able to state emphatically that it's not true. They might say, I don't believe it. But they don't say it's not. I never hear people say that that's not true. But anytime somebody says, I don't believe that, I don't believe there's a cure for cancer, I don't believe there's a cure for diabetes, well, your non-belief has to be based on something, another set of information other information that would refute the information that's being presented. So if somebody, if you tell somebody, hey, I cured my mother of cancer in both breasts, the liver, and the colon, and they say, oh, I don't believe that, then your non-belief has to be based on something. It has to be based on another set of information. You have to have read something or something that has caused you to say that I don't believe the set of facts that's being presented to me right now. So it always amazes me when I hear your testimony that your mother was willing to just let go of everything that she knew, you know, and
yeah.
to try something new or to do something new. And
yeah.
it's those people, the people that are willing to do the something new and to stick with it, that are the ones that get the testimony. Your mother
yeah.
saw it all the way through. And in the end, her testimony was that she was back in the pulpit preaching and giving glory to God. So, I mean,
yeah,
I think
yeah,
that's
yeah.
so fascinating, brother. Could you just talk
yeah.
briefly for a moment about the need for people to do? Because when you're on a path and the path has led you nowhere, and then there's somebody else over here saying, not just one person, because you're not the only person that's saying that holistic health can cure you. There are countless
right.
other people. I mean, you were one of three people at the symposium a couple of weeks ago, and there are others, and people are getting cured every
yeah.
day just by making the changes that are required. So before we get into the topic of our discussion, which is you can reverse gout be gone forever naturally, and we'll be talking about arthritis as well, could you talk about
yeah.
the need for people to actually, when they hear it, to actually, you got to have faith in something, you
yeah.
know, and if what you've
yeah.
been doing has not been working, if you've been praying but you still have the condition, if you've prayed and you still have cancer, if you prayed and you still have diabetes, if you prayed and you still have gout or arthritis, and somebody says, listen, there's another way, and it's been proven to work. Could you talk about how important it is to, when you hear information like this, to at
yeah.
least investigate it and not just to reject it?
Well, if they have prayed, they are not listening to the answer. They're just talking to themselves. When you pray, you ask for the things that you don't know to be revealed to you. And if you listen to all around you and to what information comes to you, you will find that your prayer will give you the faith, or you will, if you have faith, you will be able to stand on that faith to receive the answer to your prayer. Because oftentimes, when we pray, we just asking for stuff. We just want God to give us something. But sometimes you have to listen and meditate on it and actually hear what's going on around you to really get the answer that you need or that you're looking for. And that's the probably why they are just praying and not getting any result, because they're really not listening. And listening is a big part of praying, and to the meditation part is the listening part, and we have to be able to discern what we hear into what we need to hear to heal ourselves. So I would say keep listening, and you know, sometimes just shut your mouth and listen and meditate and see what comes to you. And if you ask, you will receive. That's just the principle of life. And if you adhere to that, and if you have faith in that, your prayer will be answered. And that's about as simple as I can make it. Is you have to ask for what you want. You have to ask for what you need. You have to ask, tell God what you believe. If you don't know, ask them what is the answer to what you need, and just let it come to you. It'll come to you if you ask.
You know, Brother Coy, I'm very, very excited about this show, because I know that there are people that are tuning in that have prayed and that this is the answer. You know, this is
yeah.
the answer. Again, I can't state it enough. This brother that you're listening to today cured his mother of cancer, not just one type of cancer. I mean, this is cancer that manifested in three different forms. Cancer in both of her breasts, her liver, and her colon, after the doctors had given her just 6 weeks to live. Just 6 weeks
yeah.
to live.
Yeah.
And Brother Coy sought God, got the answer. His mother listened and acted upon it and was healed. I mean, and we think it's a miracle, but really if you give the body what it needs, then it's not a miracle. For example, with your car, if you put in your car what it needs, it's not a miracle if your car works and don't break down. It's just
that's
a natural reaction to you putting in the car what it needs. It's the same thing with the body. If you put in the body what the body needs, then it's going to function disease free. Okay, now that don't mean that you won't get hit by a car. I got hit by a car when I was a vegan. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But certainly sped up the healing process. It certainly sped up the healing process. The doctor wanted to cut me, and I was like, "Nah, I'm going to see Brother Coy." And Coy hooked me up, told me what to do, and next thing you know, I was good to go. But tonight's show again is going to be on gout. And gout is a form of arthritis, correct, Brother Coy? So we'll put arthritis in the same category. If we could talk about both of those, that would be great. So for starters, brother, there are a lot of people out there who might have gout or arthritis. Comes from the same thing, correct? I mean, what, though, is gout? And then we'll move from that and we'll let the conversation flow into arthritis and whatever else. Whatever other condition, if you got diabetes, you can press 1, by the way. If you'd like to make a comment or ask a question, all you have to do is just press 1 on the phone, and then I can bring you on and you can ask your question or make your comment. But, Brother Coy, what is gout? So people, we can lay the foundation for the discussion and then get into how we can cure it naturally.
Well, it's nothing more than just inflammation in the body. The inflammation that we always talk about, they cause most of the diseases that we get from. No matter what you call it, it comes from the same condition. Gout is derived from its name, gout, I guess, because it's just an overabundance of uric acid in the system. It's not that uric acid is bad. It's just that the way we eat, the way we live, oftentimes we create too much uric acid, and it settles in the bones and the joints, and it is painful. If you ever had it, it will make a believer out of you. It is crippling. You can't get up. You can't sit down. And it's very, very painful and uncomfortable. But it basically comes from an overproduction of uric acid. Not that uric acid is bad, because it is an antioxidant and it's supposed to keep inflammation down. But when we eat wrong and do the wrong thing, we create too much uric acid trying to fight off that, and it settles in the joint, and it is a painful ordeal. And if nothing make you a believer, the uric acid and the gout will. It is painful. And they come in almost every day asking for what can they do. And it's not that it's any particular reason you get it, other than you've eat too much of the wrong thing or drink too much of the wrong thing. It can get you, but it can get anyone just as well as some other reason you can get it is eating too much parasitic flesh, like shellfish and red meat and pork. All of those things create this overabundance of uric acid in the system that result in something called gout.
Now, gout, when I was researching it online, was linked to arthritis. Actually, it was being presented as a form of arthritis. Is that your understanding of it as well?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a form of arthritis,
So then let's, because there are people out there that are listening that may have arthritis but might not have been diagnosed necessarily with gout, and we can talk about this later, disease by any other name. I mean, it's like, you know, all the same thing,
But you can have arthritis and not have gout. That is possible, yes.
Okay. So then when it comes to treating gout, the treatment for arthritis would be the same thing. It's caused by eating too much red meat, or, you know me, I'm vegan, so I prefer no meat at all. I take the too much out.
Right. Any flesh.
Say any meat.
You can say animal flesh or whatever flesh, But
so
generally, that's the case. Most of us will get it because we are eating too much flesh. It's either shellfish like shrimp, clams, and the oysters, the lobster, all the things that we love to eat, or it comes from eating too much red meat or chicken or fish. the dirty fish and a pork eating from the pig, and those things we shouldn't be eating anyway. So that's why you get it.
So the beef, the chicken, all of this, all of the flesh causes the shellfish, and that you would, that would include, would you include crabs in that? I'm getting ready to mess up
crabs,
somebody's
huh?
dinner.
crabs,
too, crabs right?
and shrimp. Yeah, crabs and shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay,
but,
so that's
all of those
your
things.
Task. Yes,
all those things are part of the forbidden diet, and for some reason we don't get it that these things we shouldn't eat, and we go through the process of eating them anyway. And we wind up with all kind of diseases. Gout is just one of them, but most any disease that we come up with comes from that process of us not eating properly and eating improperly. It comes from eating the wrong thing, too much of it all the time, and it just breaks the body down into they're what they call parasitic foods, and they go into the body and they drain the body of all the calcium and all the minerals and all the other stuff that we need to live. They eat it up because they are hungry and they want something to eat. So they eat it all from us, and our body try to fight it off by producing antioxidants. And in the case of gout, you're producing too much uric acid, and that's why we break down into the disease family.
So when somebody has gout, and not necessarily, you know, well, if they have gout, they've got arthritis. But if they have arthritis, it doesn't mean they have gout. Is that it?
That's the way to put it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's different forms of arthritis. But it's all basically inflammation coming from the same thing, eating parasitic foods. That's the point I'm trying to make. Yeah.
So if you stop we know what caused it, but if we stop eating the things that caused it, because it's not caused any other way, is that correct? So you're not going to get if you eat a plant-based diet,
yeah,
full of leafy vegetables, leafy green foods, and fruits and vegetables, you will never get gout or arthritis, because that's the only way you can get it is through uric acid, which is caused by eating dead animals, basically. Correct?
That's correct. Yeah, you got it. That's the way to put it. And we just don't get it. And if you look around, we are losing a lot of our green leafy vegetables, our vegetarian-based diet, our plant-based diet. We are losing a lot of that because people think it's not worth keeping or not worth engaging in. I hope that we realize soon enough that we need to make this transition into a plant-based diet before they're all gone, because they're killing them from the animals they're growing, the pig waste. They are shooting it up in the air like it might as well be nuclear waste, and it's coming down and it's killing everything around it. The cow eat up all the grass, and its gas is polluting the CO2 in the air. It's creating more CO2 in the air, and the chicken and fish is full of antibiotics or whatever they put in them to make them grow so fast. And the fish is full of pollution from the ocean. So, and all of that's killing the plants. It's killing the plant-based diet that we need, and we are missing that point. And we really need to come to that realization. And gout is one of those things that will kind of wake you up to that. And if you want to get rid of it, you have to go back to the plant-based diet. That's that. If you don't, or any arthritis, really, you have to go back to a plant-based diet as much as you can and stay on it and get your body built up again and get those parasites and all the toxins out, and you won't have the problem, right?
You know what's interesting to me, Brother Coy, is that a lot of people, just because of the society that we were raised in, you know, I'll quote a thing that I heard from Orwa Hehimetaran comment. He mentioned that if you find that the fish are polluted, if the fish are sick, it's because the pond is polluted. You don't blame the fish for being sick if the pond is polluted, okay?
There you go. Uh-huh.
So we come up in a society or in a culture that promotes, from the time we are born, this culture promotes the eating of animal products. I remember everybody who's old enough to remember the food chart remembers that on the food chart it said there was, you had to have a helping, if you were supposed to be supposedly eating healthy, you had meat was on the food chart, a glass of milk was on the food chart. There may have been a piece of fruit on there, but we grew up with that. We grew up in that.
Yeah.
Especially if you have people that grew up in the South, you know, with farms and all that, and they were raising their own cattle, and, you know, they were slaughtering their own food and raising hogs and chickens and, you know, all of this. And we, as a people, have, you know, we all want something to call our own, I think, as black people. We want something to call our own. We take pride in having something that's uniquely ours. For example, back in the 60s, soul music was made very, very popular. Soul music, you know. We had soul, you know. And nothing wrong with having soul. Yeah, nothing wrong with having rhythm. But then we took that also, that wanting, that taking pride in our uniqueness to food. You know, even soul food. We took pride in the fact that, you know, we could whip up something in the kitchen and we could make it smell good. And, you know, women were in the kitchen and they could cook. And, you know, matter of fact, brother might not even marry a woman if she couldn't cook.
Yeah, some pork and leaves, right?
Exactly. He said some pork and leaves.
If she can't do some pork, she can't cook, right?
You know?
I understand.
Knowing
right,
that,
that's where
growing up
from.
In that culture, and, you know, being taught that and being passed down from generation to generation to generation, you know, and little girls growing up, seeing their parents and their mother in the kitchen cooking and learning at her side and all of this, not even knowing, very well-meaning people who love their families, not even in their wildest imagination did they know that they were killing their family with the food, and the family was actually digging their graves with a fork, the fork that was going in their mouth. Could you talk about that?
Yeah. Well, that's where we are today. That's why we have all these diseases and doctors that can't heal anything because we created this out of ignorance, and instead of admitting that we didn't know what we were doing, we would rather act like we know what we're doing because we got a degree or we got a nice job or we drive a Cadillac. You know, I can't tell you nothing if you got everything you ever thought you wanted, unless you get real sick, and then you may listen to me. But most of the time, you know, you go through life and you don't realize what's going on until it's too late, and that's why heart attack is the number one killer in America. I mean, heart attack is still the number one killer because there's no warning. And we don't want to hear or listen to people when they try to tell us why it's happening. It's happening because we're not giving the body what it needs. We're not treating the body the way it should be treated. And we're not living by the law that's been laid before us. And all of that comes from our training. We go to this church. We listen to the preacher preach. We read the Bible, and it's all there. But we don't seem to understand or seem to be able to assimilate what we read into our lives. So as a result, we suffer. It's like we're under some spell or witchcraft.
You know, that's deep, brother, because it is true that when sharing this information with people, oftentimes it's the people that need it the most. I mean, it's the people that clear that a healthy, holistic diet would benefit them, whether it's because of something that's, you know, noticeable or something that they've shared. It's clear. I mean, I remember a brother that I've shared this before, but I'll share it again for those who haven't heard me say it. There was a brother, a friend of mine, who shared with me that he had cancer. And I tried to send him to Brother Coy. I shared with him about Coy's testimony about his mother. My friend told me that he was actually going to go to Johns Hopkins, and they were about to start radiation or chemo, I think, the following week. And I begged him not to go, not to do that, not to go that path. He said, "Juanza, listen, man, you know, I know you care about me. I appreciate your concern and everything, man, but I'm gonna go that route. This is Johns Hopkins, man. These are doctors. They know what they're doing, so forth and so on. About 6 months later, called me back about 6 months later, frantic, screaming, begging for your number. Juwanza, what's that man's number you was telling me about? I'm like, man, what's going on? What's going on? He said, man, I'm over here. He said, I'm over here spitting up blood. And 2 days later, he's, you know.
Out of here.
And so, out of here, man. And, you know, there's other people that I've tried to share information with concerning holistic health, and they just didn't listen. And I think
right.
that part of it is because it's not reinforced. I mean, when you hear information like this, like there are people right now, they're going to hear this information. It's like about 7:30, right? People are going to hear this information. They may not have eaten dinner yet. Some people are going to hear this information and go right in the kitchen, throw that dead chicken in the pan, you know, fry them up and eat them.
Yeah.
But if you do, just remember the information that you're hearing on this show when you do, okay?
Yeah.
Because at least maybe it will make you look at that differently and maybe make some choices. If you knew that that chicken could contribute to your arthritis, if you knew that that chicken could contribute to your gout or diabetes, then maybe you might make another choice. So that's why I really appreciate Brother Coy coming on and sharing this information with us. So, Brother Coy, back to the arthritis and the gout. So if somebody's listening to this show right now and they're like, you know, I want to make some changes. I know I need to make some changes. I believe this could be the answer to my prayers, but I just don't know where to begin. You know, if I don't, I've been raised on chicken, beef, and pork, and crabs, and shrimp, and all of these things. If I don't eat that, what do I eat? I mean, all I keep hearing y'all talk about is green leafy vegetables, man. I can't eat leaves all day long. What do you say to that?
Yeah. Well, they're probably right because they're harder and harder to find. Good vegetables are hard to find now, and if you find any, they're probably synthetic. So it is a challenge. But the idea is that the person has to do some studying, have to at least understand why they need to do a plant-based diet. And the best place to start, you can start with Leviticus 11 in the Bible. Just read through it and just see what it's saying and try to understand what it's saying in a way that it can help you. Then you have to be willing to put that in practice. So, yeah, that was the part of the Bible where meat, you know, people was just so stiff-necked. They thought they couldn't live without meat. So there was a compromise there in Leviticus that allowed certain meats. Now, you have to understand what those certain meats are. And if you stay within that, that's fine. But that was back in that day. Nowadays, I doubt if you can find any decent meat to eat because the agricultural industry has pretty much created their own meat out of the processes by which they grow it. And that meat is oftentimes filled with antibiotics, filled with hormones, filled with all kind of harmful stuff that we should not be adding to our diet because we are not a cow, we are not a pig, we shouldn't be eating that. You know, meat is for carnivores, and a pig is a carnivore. A cow eat a lot of green grass, but why eat the cow if you can eat what the cow eat? And you have to sometimes just stop and think about what you're doing and where you're going and who's selling you that. It's all coming from the agricultural industry that's supporting the dairy farmers and the meat growers, and they're destroying the planet because they want to make a dollar. They want you to put you to work and take your money to put back in their pocket so they can give it to these advertisers and create this cycle of you eating all of this stuff that you think you're supposed to eat, but it's really not good for anybody but them, and they're making all the money. So it's just you're just being used as a guinea pig to get somebody else rich. So we have to understand where we're going with this and decide that we're either going to participate in it or we're not. And once you make that decision, it's not difficult anymore to make the changes that you need to live the life that you should be living, to live the life that's been provided for you to live and the way you should live it it will come to you. You can't live without the land, and we have left the land, and now the land is leaving us. So it's just a process of going through, fighting your way through, understanding what's going on, and making that change for yourself. No one can do that but you. Once you make up your mind and decide to take that road, you will find that everything, all the support you need. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Just go. I mean, the birds fly around all day. I don't see them working, trying to make a dollar so they can go buy something to eat every weekend. They're provided for. And if they're provided for, I'll be provided for. You have to just understand that. And that's where your faith come in. And you have to stand on your faith and work it out. It'll work out. And that's what you have to believe, and that's what you have to do.
You know, Brother Coy, last week, Brother Frank Smith, he's normally at the symposiums with us, and he gave his testimony, powerful, powerful show. I encourage everybody to go back and listen to that show. It's called To Hell and Back, My Journey to the Garden of Eden. To Hell and Back, My Journey to the Garden of Eden. And he talks about how he went out and got on drugs and, you know, just how his whole life was just messed up as a result of, you know, just trying to find substances that would alter his mind, which they did. And in the process, he ended up with liver cancer. And doctors had given him 6 months to a year to live. And he did some research and started juicing. And he said it got to the point where he was so weak, his body was so weak, that he, just to wash the vegetables, he might just be able to wash a couple of cucumbers. Then he had to go lay down, you know what I mean, and rest. And then he'd get up a couple of hours later, go wash some more vegetables, and then go lay down and rest. A lot of people, see, that's the work, you know.
Yeah.
And in the end, long story short, now they remember they had given him 6 months to a year to live. In the end, when the doctors looked at his liver, it looked, he said, the doctor said that it looked as though the cancer had been surgically removed. You know, that's how gone, you know, and there was a scar, like somebody had actually taken the cancer out. He said within several months he continued to juice, even the scar was gone off of his liver. So, but I report that, share that, because the work that he put into it is what produced the results. I mean, he could hear this information all day long.
Yeah.
He could hear it.
Yeah.
He could agree with it. But until he got up and made and took those steps and started juicing, until he started, he had to stop hanging around the people that he used to hang with. Sometimes, could you talk about this aspect of it? There are certain people that you can't, once you take the step onto this path, see, this is a path that's going to lead to either life or it's going to lead to death. And if there are other people on the path and they still want to, you know, walk the death road, then you can't walk it with them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You have to make a choice as to what road you're going to choose. Are you going to choose life, and I'm speaking about holistic health, or are you going to choose death? Can you talk about that?
Right. Well, that is the choice. That is the choice you make. If you continue to do the same thing, you get expecting a different result. That's called insanity. So you can't go two ways at the same time, and that's what they call the tree of good and evil. On one side, you got all the things you shouldn't do, and on the other side, you have all the things that you should do. Now you can't go back and forth or try to walk both ways. You got to go one way or the other to make your life comfortable or to calm yourself down and get through life in some kind of sense. So if you decide to go this way, once you decide to go this way, depending on how sick you are, the road may be a little more difficult. If you already have a disease, already moved down the road too far, the wrong road too far, then you got to pay the price to come back. I mean, there's no free ride. If you go down the road of death long enough, you're going to get sick. And once you get sick, then you have to do everything you can to reverse it. And that's what Frank went through. He had to go back. He had to undo all that stuff he had clogged up in him. That's the detox process we talk about. That is why you detox, so you don't get to the point to where you get so weak you can't move. But at that time, If he had been doing enemas, that would have probably helped him. That's one reason why you do the enema, to help flush the toxins out. But once he made that decision, he stayed with it and didn't go back, and he healed himself. That's how it works. There's no other way to explain it. That is how you do it. And if you don't, you got to have a strong mind and will to do that. And sometimes it takes people to be on their deathbed, near their deathbed, to make up their mind to do that. And it's sad that we have to go to that far to get to that. But the sooner you make that decision, the better off you're going to be, is the way I put it. And if you continue to do it until you have the heart attack or have the gout attack, which is, an early warning sign of a heart attack, until you make that decision to do the right thing, you're going to continue to progress from maybe high blood pressure into gout, or the gout to high blood pressure into kidney problems, and all the way into a process of heart attack. And that's your early warning sign that you need to do something different, because you're killing yourself. And if we don't have sense enough to realize that, then we die. I mean, there's no nice way to put that. You choose the way you go. And if you don't make the right choices, you can't blame me. It's your choice, and you have to make it, and you have to be informed. That's why you study.
You know, Brother Coy, I want to ask a question. Since, again, you know, disease by any other name is still a disease, and although we're talking about gout, we're talking about arthritis, you know, I spoke with somebody today, and they mentioned diabetes. And I'd like to, if you could talk about that, because while the person it may be listening, diabetes is another one of those diseases that's probably, it might be the easiest one to cure, correct? And a lot of people are taking insulin on different machines and all of that. Could you talk that diabetes and how quickly and easily that can be reversed naturally?
Yeah, I would say diabetes is probably the earliest warning sign that you need to do something different. If you find that your blood sugar is out of control, you need to reevaluate your whole life and whatever you're doing, and do whatever you can to correct that problem, because that's usually the early warning sign to other diseases, including arthritis, kidney problems, heart attacks, and anything else. The process starts because our blood sugar starts because we are overworking our pancreas. Our pancreas is not designed to process a lot of animal fat, a lot of sugar, a lot of synthetic foods. The job of the pancreas is to decide what the body should do with the foods that we eat. And when we overtax it, eating all of these things, the animal fat, the sugar particularly, and the foods that are not foods, like synthetic foods, then the pancreas will stop functioning, and that leads directly into the kidney, where you go into the blood system, where your blood pressure stops circulating, and you get the high blood pressure, and then your body begins to shut down. So even before you get gout, you'll probably have some form of blood sugar imbalance. So the blood sugar imbalance is a good indication that you need to look at what you're doing, begin to move to a plant-based diet as fast as you can, and stay away from chemicals and synthetic foods and meats and animal fat as fast as you can, and you're corrected. Now, once you're corrected, you got to stay corrected. You can't go back and eat the stuff that caused it. You can't, if you stop doing it, then you can't jump from the good side of the tree to the bad side of the tree, or from the bad side of the tree to the good side of the tree. You got to go one way or the other. You can't be double-minded. And once you make up your mind to do the right thing, you won't get sick. You can't get sick. There's no way to get sick. If you eat right and you do right and you live right, you'll have a happy, healthy life. That's about as succinct as you can get it. And when your pancreas or your diabetes starts coming up, that's the first sign that you need to make some changes real quick.
You know, Brother Coy, again, you know, people, when they hear this information, I think that underlying the information is the thought that we live in a country that's supposed to be the most civilized country in the world, I believe, is the thought, and that we trust that the, I guess it would be the, whatever organization is that monitors or governs what goes to market and what's not. We assume, you know, because, for example, they might have, you might read some, they have some website or whatever where they tell you about all the meat recalls. You know, so people look at that as kind of like a safety net, right? It's like, they wouldn't let anything.
The government
is doing anything.
What it's supposed to do,
protecting us, you know. But they might recall certain bad meat, but the good meat is bad, okay?
Yeah.
If the good meat, if the meat that makes it to the market, you know, if they say, okay, plant, they found certain plants in, say, South Carolina that have been, you know, putting out bad poisonous meat or whatever, and they recall that. That gives the meat eaters a sense of relief, like, oh, God, they're looking out for us. They're not letting no bad meat on the market. You're not thinking that the meat that does get to the market, it still contains uric acid that's going to cause the inflammation, it's going to cause the gout, it's going to cause the arthritis, it's going to cause the pain, it's going to cause the suffering, and people just don't relate it back to the food because the thought is that we're protected, that there are agencies out there that protect us from harmful substance hitting the market, but not even considering that, hey, cigarettes are legal, you know?
But drinking, how many deaths
are there out in the world every year?
Yeah, but the thing with that is, I would like to say here, is that, yes, the government has these agencies that are supposed to look out for our interests, but what is happening, these presidents we elect and these congressmen we elect, they are so greedy until I can come along and offer them $1,000 to look the other way. If I grow pigs, I offer them $1,000. They'll look the other way, and I can do what I want to with my pig, and no one is going to come back and look at me. But if I'm over here trying to sell a plant, they can use their power to come after me because I sell a plant. That the government is so it's almost fascism we're in now, and we have to understand that the government is bought and sold by the highest bidder, and they do what the highest bidder want them to do. So if they want to get rid of any competition, they can use the government to do that now. And that's where we are now in this world, and we have to demand that we take this country back. We're talking about great again. We need to take this country back because it's being controlled by corporations that has infiltrated the government to the point to where the people don't matter no more. The people are just subjects, and they'll do what the corporation want to sell them. They can sell them because they got the money to pay the people that decide what they're going to sell and how they're going to sell it. They got the people in their pocket, and they're going to look the other way while they do whatever they want to do. And we have to come to that and stop being this guinea pig that's being this economic tool that's used to make industry rich that's killing us. It makes no sense when we think about it. And somehow we have to get a political voice. We have to get a voice in this matter because the people are left out of the process now. If you don't have billions of dollars to spend on buying the lawmakers, then you just become a tool for the lawmakers to use to get your money back and give to the people that's killing you in the first place. So we have to really wake up to that. It's no excuse for us to sit around and watch that happen to us when we're right here where they are down there, and they sit down there and can't even pass a health bill to help the people that work every day for these companies. They don't even want to pay for a health bill to take care of the people. That's insane. And we need to let them know that is not acceptable, and we will not accept it. And until we do that, they're going to continue to fart around down there. People are going to continue to die. People are not going to have any coverage for whatever's wrong with them. And the coverage that they're getting is just to put back into the hands of the people that's killing us in the first place. They're making these drugs. They're billing all these drugs. And they know they're no good, and they're going to kill you when they're giving them to you. And nobody's doing anything about that because the drug companies own the Congress and they own the people that make the decision. So it's kind of a fascist state we're in. And if we don't stop it, it's going to be too late. And no matter what you say or do, they'll be able to sell you anything, and you'll have to eat whatever they sell you because you don't have a voice to say no, or to we are not going to accept that. Or your representatives are down there sitting in the bed with all this, these corporations that give them all this money, and they look another way while the people are suffering, and that needs to stop.
Well, you know, I know that there are going to be people out there that hear this show that might be under a doctor's care, doctor's supervision, whether it's because they have gout, whether it's because they have arthritis, whether they have diabetes or whatever. And when, could you talk about even the importance of talking to your doctor, talking to your physician, talking to that person who is administering these drugs to you, whether it's drugs for arthritis, gout, diabetes, whatever the case is. These drugs have side effects. And oftentimes the side effects could end up being more debilitating than the disease itself.
That's correct. That's correct.
And so when these people go to the doctors, I've heard many doctors say, oh, you know, that stuff don't work. You know, talking about holistic health, somebody might say, well, when I told the people, matter of fact, when the doctor wanted to operate on my knee and I told him I was going to go to holistic health route, he was like, oh, that stuff don't work. You know, he told me that stuff doesn't work, you know. But, of course, I didn't believe that. I was very leery of him when he said it. But could you talk about that? Because there may be somebody that hears this information and tells the doctor, listen, I want to kind of wean myself off the medication. I've decided to go to holistic health. We're warning you in advance what the doctor is going to. Okay, the doctor's going to say, oh, that stuff doesn't work. Could you talk about it?
Right. Well, that is, again, goes back to the economic considerations in the matter. The pharmaceutical companies give these doctors license where they give them the drugs to give to the patients, and they pay them incentive to sell their drugs. So the doctor's in business to make money just like everybody else. So he becomes a part of the circle too. And if he don't do the drug thing, he gets blackballed, and he may not make any money at all. So he's got to live. He got a family. He got to pay for his car. So he take the drugs and he give them to you and look the other way. And when you ask them to do something different, he's going to say, you must be crazy, man. I ain't going to do that. You want me to give up my money to so you can take a herb? You must be crazy.
Mm.
And that's how he's going to accept it. So don't even, you know, you can talk to him and you can feel him and see what you think about what his answers are to your question. But don't expect him to say, well, go eat go to a plant-based diet or start taking herbs. Or I found an herb over here that'll do what this medication over here do. They're not really practicing. Well, they're practicing medicine, but it's more like they're practicing drug therapy. It's just different drugs. The opioid epidemic that we have such a problem with and everybody talk about so much comes from the doctors. They are prescribing it. So why would they not prescribe it? Because maybe every time they get somebody to take opioids, they might get $2,000 or $3,000 a pill. So that's what they do. I mean, you can't really blame them, but that's the kind of system we are up against now. And you have to have your own space, and you have to understand. You have to have your own place to stand, and you have to have your rights. You have to know your rights, and you have to stand on them, and you have to demand your rights. Because if you don't, they're going to trample on you, and you're going to wind up being a guinea pig. You'll be hooked on opium or something like that, because if there's money in it, the doctors are going to give it to you. And if you talk to them and they tell you that there's no other way, then you need to look somewhere else.
Find another doctor.
Right? Yeah. That's all I can say to that. But you got to be able to listen and reason and consider the source and all that. All of those things you have to make do it, which is what we call you have to be able to think. And the best thing you can do in your life is learn how to think and teach your children how to think. So when they hear something that doesn't make sense, at least they can feel like something is not right and continue to investigate and find out why they feel that way. But if you have, well, my doctor said, okay, I'm gonna take this opium and I'm going to get hooked on it and I'm going to stay on it until they drag me out of here in a sheet. But that's where we're going, and it's sad that they're just drugging us up and keeping us quiet and pushing us off to the corner and they get rich.
You know, I used to always wonder, you know, why, for example, you know, the proof is in the pudding. The proof is in the results, you know.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
when it comes to doctors and people going to doctors, getting medication, and, like, for example, somebody might go to the doctor with high blood pressure or diabetes or something, and then the person, doctor prescribes this medication, and then the person dies. But, and so that says to me that the doctor just didn't do the job right, right? He didn't, he wasn't successful in treating the diabetes. If the patient takes the diabetic medication and ultimately mm-hmm. succumbs to the medication or the condition mm-hmm. and dies, then the doctor didn't do his job, in my opinion. But he still gets paid. So while
yeah.
the family is going to the funeral, the doctor mm-hmm. is going to the bank.
Going to the bank, yeah.
He doesn't get any.
Yeah, don't think these people love you. Don't think these people care about whether you live or die. Don't even go there. You can forget that. It's about whether or not they can get a dollar in their hand, and they'll do whatever it takes to get a dollar in their hand. And they'll sell you out. They'll give you whatever they can make money on, and they'll keep you sick as long as they can, because that's where they make money.
And they don't get paid any less if you die.
That's correct.
If you die, they don't get paid any less. If the medication they give you doesn't work, they don't get paid any less. They get paid the same thing. And if you have good insurance, they're going to wear you out. Brother Quay, somebody texted me and asked me to ask you this question. It was concerning cooking oil. What's the best cooking oil to use if you're going to cook food? What's the best to use, and what's a no-no? What's one oil you better not use if you're smart?
Well, the worst oils would be animal fat. You don't want to cook with animal fat. From there, you want to make sure it's at least from a plant or a nut. But I would say the best oils to cook with is, like, maybe the rice bran oil is probably the best if you got to cook or fry a lot. It's more expensive, but it gives off less triglycerides and all the other bad things that come from heating up oil. But the idea is you want to get away from heating or cooking with oil and use your oils that are high in omega-3s, and that's the olive oils. Olive oils are great, but see, you got to remember, once you heat it over 120 degrees, you are killing the benefit of it. So you want to learn how to use oils in raw dishes so that you get the best benefit. If you have to use oil to cook, I would recommend you can use a rice bran oil. You can use oils from seeds. You can use oils from beans, the soybean oil. That you want a oil that will hold up under heat, so that it don't break down so fast into triglycerides or create triglycerides in the cooking process. But anytime you're cooking, you're killing the food. So you wanna at least reduce the amount of cooked food you eat. Try to eat more raw food, which I know most people ain't trying to do. But you got to move in that direction as best you can. And if you have to heat up food, try not to overcook it or fry it too much. Don't make that a big part of your diet, in other words. Try to restrict that to a smaller part of your diet, and try to use more green, leafy vegetables, the peppers, the summer squash, those kind of things. You may can heat that up in a pan or on the top of a stove or a grill with a little rice bran oil or a little soy oil just to soften it up, and let that do. Don't try to use too much. Don't try to use oil and heating up too much. That's the thing, because when you heat it up, it transforms into something else that is not good for you. So you have to
transform you into someone else, huh?
Yeah, it'll transform you too. But you want to stay with the oils like olive oil, macadamia oil, that kind of stuff to really give you to get the you remember, you need essential fats, and one of the best ways to get it is through the olive oil, the macadamia nuts, the nut classification, and you can stay with within that area. But you can't hook once you heat them up. Then you have killed the benefit of why you get them, so you lose the benefit of getting the essential fats that you need to regulate your hormones and enzymes. So you want to use a oil. If you want to use a oil, come up with a dish that's not so, heated. You don't want to heat it up too much. That would be my best suggestion on that. But we have a long way to go, or ways to go before we get there. But there are a lot of recipes that you can do that can replace the cooking with just raw ingredients that will taste enough like a loaf or meat that you can do that with. And you just have to look around for some recipes and begin to use that in your cooking, and you'll see that it's not as bad as it sounds.
What about Crisco and canola oil? Question, bro.
Crisco, as far as I know, I think it comes from a pig. And canola oil, I think it comes from a toxic nut. So those would be at the bottom of my list in terms of oil to use to ingest, period. I would not use those.
Brother Coy, listen, I know we're talking about, somebody got a question. Hold on, let me get to that. But I'm going to just ask this question, and I'm coming to you, caller. What about the microwave? I know there are people out there that just use the microwave. I mean, if you're trying to get rid of arthritis and gout and diabetes,
yeah.
The microwave, what are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, in the terms of the microwave, again, whenever you heat up anything above 120 degrees, it's going to kill it. Now, that's whether it's on a stove or it's on an oven or it's in a microwave, that's going to happen. That's a given. So it's a lot of hype about the microwave that it leaves radiation in the food and all of that. I haven't found that to be so true, and it's still debated. But the only thing the microwave do is heat up the water molecule, so you may want to put a little water on it. If you got to use a microwave, put some water in it, a drop or two, just so that it would have something to act against in the food, and don't leave it in there too long. And I think it will probably be just as safe as cooking on the stove or on the fire or on a lot of heat or anything else. The idea is we want to move away from all of that. We want to move more to a raw diet. That's where you want to go if you're serious about being healthy. Move away from the stove, move away from the grill, move away from the microwave, move away from anything that heats up the food, and try to eat more raw.
Okay. Brother, go ahead. We're going to take a call, all right?
All right.
Okay. 4356, you're on the air with King Coy Dunstan. Welcome to Juwan's for Life.
Thank you. First of all, love to both my brothers. And secondly, a question. Gout usually manifests itself in the foot, but it is a disease of the joint, correct? So any joint could be, you can get gout in?
You could say that. Usually it shows up in the big toe because that's where most of the fatty tissue is that it needs to penetrate. Yeah, it penetrates in the fatty tissue, but it can show up anywhere in the body. Yeah.
Okay. And secondly, if someone is in the throes of a gout attack, what can they do to possibly alleviate that the symptoms?
Well, the best thing I would do is to take down the uric acid, I would use black cherry. Black cherry juice usually takes care of it in a matter of hours. And do anything else you can do to break down the inflammation caused by over uric acid, like vitamin C powder, 5,000 milligram non-acidic. It helps flush out excess uric acid. Aloe vera juice would be good. But there's something along that line you could do to get rid of the excess uric acid is what you're doing. But I think black cherry, I've had good results with that, and I would recommend that to be first.
Okay, and that was what again?
Black cherry, BlackCherry, black cherry, black cherry on a tree.
And how do you get that, in what form?
Usually you get in a juice. You can get a juice, pure black cherry juice. You can get it in a concentrate. Or if you got land around you, you can grow them and eat them off the tree.
Okay. All right. Good enough on them to know. My brother-in-law frequently has gout attacks.
Is he a meat eater? Or
yes,
drink
he
a
is.
Lot of, yeah.
A meat eater.
And tell him he enjoys gout.
No, I had told Juanza, I said, I have somebody that needs to hear this tonight. So I gave him the number. I don't know whether he's called or not, but I'm going to be certain to make certain that he can listen to it in our time. So
yeah.
I was just wondering.
No, you're,
because
the you're the first caller, and we appreciate
you. Okay.
And you know what, Queen Renee, I was also looking online, and I saw that one of the things that bring about a gout attack, two of the things they mentioned was stress. That's one thing, and alcohol was another. So I don't know if you're you're big enough drinks or if they're under a lot of stress, but I would assume that in, you know, dealing with a gout attack, that if they could get away from whatever's causing stress in their life, if at all, if that's part of it, and if they drink, to immediately stop.
Well, right. He's not a drinker, but he has lost his wife, and that's been very hard for him.
And another thing that I noticed too, Brother Quay, maybe you could speak to it while Queen Renee is on the line too, is that you know, I looked at contributing factors. One of them was being a man. They said men tend to suffer from
it more. Yeah, subject to it more than anybody else. That's true. Yeah, men. It affects more so than women. Yeah, because women don't have
weight. Obesity was one of the contributing factors as well.
Yeah.
Could you talk? Why is that? Why do you think that being a man would are they saying we're under more stress?
We're under very much more stress. We have to make a way out of no way, and oftentimes we get the feeling that it's impossible, and it manifests itself in us in a number of ways. But yeah, oftentimes you gotta raise a family with no way to support them or nowhere for them to live. You can't provide anything for them, and over time that wears you down, and it just makes you more susceptible to inflammation.
And then the men always get the big piece of chicken.
Yeah, they always have to get the biggest piece. And the women always give us the biggest piece.
No, but that's interesting. I think I've only known one woman to have gout. But you're right.
Not
typically,
too often
you
women,
see
yeah.
men.
Yeah. They always feed it to us.
Interesting. But yeah, I think his may very well be the meat eating and the stress.
That's common. Stress is used at the base of most things that we suffer from. But it does affect. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Brother Cole. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying that I was reiterating that it does affect men more so than women, and there are probably a lot of reasons, but that was just my take on it. We are probably subject to more stress. We're in a place that's really not our own, and we have no way to really control anything. So everything happened to us. We don't happen to anything. That's the way to put it. And that'll take a toll on you after a while.
You know, it's just amazing to me, too, when I look at, you know, we've done shows on diabetes. We've done shows on arthritis. We've done shows on different types of cancer, breast cancer, liver cancer, colon cancer, cervical cancer. I mean, you name it. We've done shows on these different conditions. And one of the things that always seems to pop up as a contributing factor is obesity. That is one thing that really leads to so many other conditions, gout, arthritis. Can you talk about that, Brother Coy?
Well, again, the inflammation. When you're obese, that means you're eating a lot of foods that your body is not assimilating or your body is not using, so it sits there and it putrefy, and it creates all these other problems in the bloodstream, and with your diabetes, with your pancreas, with your arthritis. It's all emanating from that food we're eating, and if we don't get it out, it sits there, and it just blows us up. A lot of that may be fluid retention. A lot of it could be just not drinking enough water. A lot of it could be just we're just lazy and don't do anything. We just sit around and watch TV and just eat. But oftentimes weight gain will accompany most of these diseases because the inflammation will cause us to retain water, and that will put weight on us, that will blow us up, like make us blow up like we're on a steroid or something. And a lot of times the steroid is in the food. So weight gain will usually accompany most of the diseases that are preventable, yes.
Queen Renee, did you have another question?
No, that was it. I appreciate you.
I appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Oh, this sister, Queen Renee, everybody's got a powerful testimony in her own right. It was so great to see her at the symposium, too.
Yeah.
It's amazing how you meet people and you just connect, and we did, and I'm just so thankful. She's been with us from the very beginning. I mean, from the very beginning,
yeah.
Ever since we started this the Blog Talk Radio, and even when I was over at another radio station in Virginia, she was with us and supportive every step of the way, and I'm just so thankful to her for all of her support and encouragement. I mean, and so I'm just happy to every time I see that she's on the line, it just makes me happy because I know that she's always there and she's always she's got our back, Brother Corey. We got her
we take care of each other, yeah.
That's right. Brother Corey, someone texted me, and I know we got to be mindful of the time here, but someone texted me and they were looking for recipes for a diabetic. Again, this show is the type of show that if you have questions, even whether it's on the topic that we're discussing with me, it's all the same. So we're talking about holistic health. It manifests, certain diseases manifest in different people in different ways. Some is gout, some is arthritis, some is heart trouble, some is diabetes. If you have a question about anything, don't worry about the title. Call in, ask your question, or text me. I'll ask it for you. Do you have any recipes for diabetics, Brother Corey? What should a diabetic stay away from? Of course, we know sugar. Else that would be and meat? Should a diabetic? It's not good for a diabetic to eat meat. Is that correct?
Probably not until they get control of it. My recommendation would be get a juicer. Get some green leafy vegetables. Occasionally you might do watermelon or some other fruit that straight fruit. You don't want any added sugar to whatever you eat. And juice and drink as much of that as you can every day. See, the pancreas, our body, I put it this way, the body is a live enzyme organism and we need live enzyme food. The only way we get live enzyme food is to get the food in its natural form and juice it. Don't cook it. Don't try to do anything to it. Just wash it and juice it and then drink it. That way your pancreas has nothing to do. It sees that it's food. It sees that it's nutritious. It sees that it's green and leafy. It sees that it has all the nutrition that it needs. So the pancreas has nothing to do. It relaxes. So if you do that for 7 days, you could probably reverse your diabetes just that quick. So I would suggest the first thing you want to do is do a juice fast. Just do green leafy vegetables as much as you can. Occasionally, if you want to change, get some just watermelon or fruit from the tree. Try to stay away from buying so much stuff out of the store because oftentimes it's been polished or whatever. If you can got people down south that's got an apple tree, get those apples. If you can get a green apple, get the green apple. That's even better. Your body can assimilate that more. If you can do that for a week, you can probably reverse your diabetes. Just juice and drink as much as you can every day. And then go back. When you do go back, stay with the grains, nuts, seeds, and raisins. Grains, nuts, seeds, fruits, and vegetables as part of your diet for a while, and you'll see that you really don't have to eat all this thing. You don't really need a lot of recipes. If you want a recipe, get a juice book and go through it and find out the juices that you can do for diabetes. And oftentimes you can find the combination of the vegetables you need to do in a juice recipe book, and that will help you as much as anything in terms of coming up with a recipe or a way to reverse or eliminate the disease.
Well, I think the individual is asking because there's someone in their family that is diabetes, and they want, and I guess they're doing the cooking, and they want to make sure that they're not giving this person anything, you know, that's going to be harmful to them as they make the transition to a plant-based diet. So, but you said meat, that's a no-no, right? I mean, you know, I'm an advocate of no meat at all, you know what I mean? But,
that's what I would say. I go to a plant-based diet. That's the best thing you can do, and there are plenty of recipes for a plant-based diet. But if you don't want to feed the diabetes, so if you continue to give them a cookies food, that's going to slow the process. I say, your pancreas need live enzyme organisms, and you can't get that from cooked food. So you have to go to a juicer and juice and drink as much green leafy vegetables as you can every day, and that will eliminate the problem of having to decide what to cook. You want cooking is not the answer.
And diabetes, that can be reversed in, what, a week or two, right? I mean, you can get rid of that. That's like in less than a month, right?
Juicing for a week, you can probably get your diabetes under control, if not eliminated. Yeah.
Wow. See, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about eliminating it because people are tired, you know. And I know that there's somebody that listens to this show today, and they want to know if they're in the Washington, D.C. area, how they can come by the store and see. Matter of fact, you don't even have to be in the Washington, D.C. area. Brother came down from the Bronx, New York, to the symposium, and also came down to from the Bronx to see Brother Coy. Went past Secrets of Nature. So if this information is important to you, you'll get there. Brother Coy, can they reach you? And what are your hours of operation? Because I know they're going to be people that come by. Tell people, if you would, about your establishment. You've got Secrets of Nature over there in Southwest Washington, D.C. You serve food. I mean, so there are people who might have never tasted a vegan dish or a vegetarian dish, and so they have nothing to compare it to. So when we talk about eating vegan and vegetarian, the only thing that comes to mind is carrots and lettuce, you know.
Yeah.
And so we're here to tell you to know there's, you can eat a lot of wonderful, good-tasting food. And if you're a woman or a man and you just like to cook, oh, man, there's so many delicious recipes that you can experiment with and, I mean, have a good time learning how to prepare to eat healthy. Could you talk about your establishment, Brother Coy, and how people can reach you and how they can, your hours of operation?
Well, we try to do a full spectrum of the health food transition that we try to offer people. We can take you from cooked food to raw food. We can take you from the herbs to the packaged herbs to the encapsulated herbs. We have products for the skin, for external and internal. And we try to give you good consultation in terms of what we think you might need. We can offer that. And if you, we are located at 3923 South Capitol Street, Southwest in Washington, D.C. If you're riding by on 495, like you're going north across the Woodrow Wilson Bridge, and it's the first exit going north on 210, you can just stop by and say hi or come in and be good and hungry, and you can get a good example of what the vegetarian way of life is like. And we can just communicate and talk. And that phone number is 202-562-0041. And we're open every day, kind of, sort of, but Sunday. We're not open on Sunday. And sometimes I'll take a day off, but otherwise, like when we did the symposium, I wasn't here that day. But usually if I'm not here, I'm doing something. So 3923 South Capitol Southwest, 202-562-0041. And the area code is 20032. So I invite everybody to stop by if they can or if they have a mind to. And we'll go and I can show you what the place look like. But it's designed to help people make up their mind or to get more confidence in coming, changing their diet or going into a healing diet or getting themselves well or preventing diseases primarily. It's a good place to come if you want to prevent disease. We can get you on the right track and help you along the way, and that's what I do.
One more time for the address. You're in Southwest. You said 3923?
South Carolina. Capitol Street Southwest. It's on right on 210. It run 210 runs from all the way through the district almost, but 210 runs across 495 going north, and you just want to go north and come into the city about 2 miles. But that's 3923 South Capitol Street Southwest, Washington D.C. 20032. And telephone 202-562-0041.
Well, Brother Coy, you've got an event coming up this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I want to tell the people about Brother Coy, again, and his establishment there has opened up, and they've got a workshop. Is it a workshop? Or a brother
workshop
coming in, and he's
whatever
just getting ready to rock the house over there?
Yeah,
more
Minister Inky. For people that have heard our Minister Inky, now, he's the man that can really get you on target if you want to learn what to do about anything. I would recommend you come hear him. He'll be here Saturday at 3 o'clock. He's going to bring – he has his own product line. He has the information. He has he's bringing the information up to the 21st century and making it plain so everybody can see and hear, and he has the evidence to prove it. So I would recommend if you come, if you want to hear someone that can convince you to do what you ought to do, I would recommend that you come see hear Minister Inky on Saturday at 3 o'clock. That's this Saturday.
This Saturday. And from what time?
March. July 8th, from 3 until we finish. If people come and we can help them, we're going to stay here until we finish.
Okay. All right. Tickets are, and they have to register?
The tickets are $20 at the door. You can pay, or you can call and I can hold them for you, or you can just say, give me a credit card and you can pay for them and I can hold them for you until you get here. But they're $20, and with that you get to come in and sit down and ask their personal questions and get personal attention from Minister Inky. He's if you have a computer, look him up, Enqi, put him in and see what he's talking about. I think you'll be quite pleased.
Well, Brother Coy, I want to thank you so much for being my guest again today. We've done a lot, as we always do, and I want to take a moment and thank the listeners for tuning in. This could really be the answer. This information could be the answer that you've been praying for. You've tried the allopathic medicine, and you're tired. You're tired of taking it. It's gotten old now. It's gotten old now. You've been on this medication for a long time. It hasn't done what it was projected to do. Your body doesn't feel the same way that it used to. There's certain things that you can't do that you used to do, and you know that there's a God out there, and you believe that God is able to heal your body, which God can do anything, but God can also give you the information so that you can do it, okay, because you've been praying. You know other people that you've prayed for that are no longer here. But faith without works is dead. Now, you've gotten this information. You've prayed for it. Again, sometimes people get the answer and they reject it, not knowing that what they're rejecting could be the very answer that they've been praying for. Now, there's no downside. When gauging whether or not something is for you or not, always ask yourself the question, what's the downside? If there is no downside, then chances are you should pursue that course of action because there are no negative repercussions if you pursue it. Now, if you ask yourself what's the downside, there is a downside. For example, if I take this medication that the doctor prescribed me, that the physician prescribed me, and there are side effects, that's a downside because those side effects can cause other conditions that you didn't have before you started taking the initial medication. That's a downside. But if there is no downside, and there's no downside to eating vegetables, there's no downside to eating fruit, unless you have diabetes, of course, and you have to monitor that. But when it comes to eating holistically, there's only an upside. People have gotten rid of cancer. And when I say gotten rid of, I don't mean it went into remission. I mean, it's gone. People have gotten rid of gone diabetes, gone. Arthritis, gone. Gout, gone. Tuberculosis, gone. Heart trouble, gone. I mean, gone, like you never had it before. Now, once you get on this path, don't go back. Don't go back, and give it time. Give the new path, give the newness a chance to sink in. Allow yourself to get used to it. Brother Coy talks about a healing crisis sometimes, that when you first start to detox, as all of these toxins are coming out of your body, you might not feel great for a day or two. But don't quit, okay? Be like Brother Frank. I'm going all the way. Brother Frank said, I'm going all the way. I might be down sometimes, but I won't be down always. I'm going to stick with this thing until the end. Why? Because there's no downside. Brother Coy, any parting words for our listeners, brother? Thank you again for being my guest today.
Yes, sir. I'd like to encourage everyone to do whatever they can to keep from getting sick. Prevention is the name of the game, and if we can do anything to support you in that, I'm available for that. And I thank Brother Tawanza for offering me this opportunity to speak to you, and I pray I've been a blessing to you and to the show. And I look to see you Saturday, if not before, with some more good news. So let's keep it up. Let's do this. We are trying to begin a kind of an educational series, and we'll probably be doing something each month or two if we can to enlighten people and bring the information to them that they need to convince them to continue to move on. So I thank you for the opportunity to express that and to let people know that we are on the move.
Brother Coy, I pray that God continues to open doors for you. You've been truly a servant of our people and just the planet. It's not just this isn't just for black people, this is for everybody, right? I mean, we can all heal together. We can all heal together because, you know, the saying, if we don't learn to live together, we're going to die together. So let's learn to heal together, because this information can change our thinking, it can change the quality of our life, and let's start surrounding ourselves with people who can see the value and the benefit in this information, because who you associate with can have an effect on you too. Okay, you might not be able, as you're making this transition, you might have to skip the family reunion if they're cooking all the stuff that you know you're weak. You know, you might have to catch them next, but you're a little bit stronger, you know what I mean? But again, Brother Coy, again, I thank you again for all of the years of dedication. You've been dedicated to helping uplift us, sharing this information. You've been patient with us, and I pray that God gives you more patience, because you've chosen an awesome, awesome field, my brother, and I just want to encourage you to keep up the good work, my brother, because it's necessary, and I honor you for the work and the service that you provided us.
I'll accept that. I appreciate that, and I encourage you to do the same thing. Don't stop, because without the voice to hear, there would be no information. So I thank you for what you do.
Thank you, sir. I'll be in touch, my brother. Everybody, that is King Coy Dunstan, owner and operator of Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Awesome, awesome, brother. You got to get by his establishment, Secrets of Nature in Washington, D.C. Call him up, 202-562-0041. Write it down. Stick it on your refrigerator, 202-562-0041. Brother Coy does phone consultations. If you have questions about anything you heard or questions about something that you didn't hear about today, give him a call. Set up an appointment. Get by Secrets of Nature. Taste some good vegan vegetarian food. They've got books. He sells loose herbs. I mean, you've got to get over there. The atmosphere is awesome. I tell you, you're not going to want to leave when you go there. All right? So, everybody, my name is Tawanza. Listen, if you want to go all the way, listen to this song. It has so encouraged me. It's blessed me, and I'm sure that it will bless you too. Because sometimes, you know, we feel like we just want to give up. Okay? But never give up. There's always hope. As long as you're breathing, there's hope. All right? So, until the next time, everybody, thank you so much for your time. Who am I? My name's Tawanza. I'm the one who, in giving, receives more. Peace.